Panthers. They are so much worse than everybody else. Look at what Marcus Mariota did to them the week before.
The Steelers' defense should be a top three defense, I think, is a nice, tidy way we could say this.
So Schefter saying that they want a wide receiver, but all these guys keep getting injured. And I think that you look at it like an upgrade could make you significantly better and give you a chance to beat some of these teams that we're talking about. Jonathan Jones, who replaced Jason LaCanfora, I'm not really sure why, but he did, and now he's CBS's NFL insider. Maybe CBS got tired of LaCanfora constantly tweeting about politics, the Orioles, and U.S. soccer.
He's not actually an Orioles fan by...
I don't know, but he's always going off on them. I still follow him. It's U.S. soccer, anti-Trump stuff, and hating the Orioles, who are winning a ton of games.
I honestly don't even see the political stuff with him. I only see him screaming. What's their GM, Mike Elias?
Yeah, he murders him.
He just kills Mike Elias every day.
So anyways, this Jonathan Jones goes in and replaces LaCanfora. And he says yesterday on the pregame show, he just floats this out there. How about the Steelers contact the Jets about Garrett Wilson? Make that conversation happen. Davante Adams is there now. Lazard is there. Williams is still there. The tight end Conklin is there. They have two running backs. Aaron runs the franchise. Aaron doesn't seem to be enamored with Wilson. He throws to him a lot, but there seems to be a disconnect there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they're going to have to give the guy a second contract that'll pay him around $30 million, if not more. The Jets have a tendency to do really dumb things. Maybe they're in panic mode right now, and you can convince them to trade their really good young wide receiver and get a good pick back because they're about to lose a pick for Davante Adams in April. This is not a fan idea. This is not a blog idea. This is not someone who hit up our text line and came up with this. This is someone minutes before the NFL Sunday slate started saying the Steelers should call the Jets about Garrett Wilson.
I mean, I think Garrett Wilson's a very, very, very good football player.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean,
didn't we bring this up on the show last week,
I think
week,
we
though?
Did. Maybe Jonathan Jones, or maybe a caller brought it up. You're right.
I think I brought it up and said, why don't you ask him about a first for Garrett Wilson?
And I think I said I wouldn't do a first, but I in that situation, even with the Steelers' history of drafting good players in the second round, given his age, I would trade a second-round pick for him. I'd hem and haw over a first-round pick, but I would be on the phone with them right now and say, just to let you know, you have a standing offer until the trade deadline. We'll trade you a second-round pick for Garrett Wilson. And if they want to come back and
they wouldn't do that because it'd be like the 55th pick or something like that. It'd be a late second.
But Wilson has one more year and then the option year, right?
If the Steelers were to trade for him, they'd have to make the decision on his fifth-year option, which I would presume you'd be picking up because the guy's already... He's going to have, even having a down year, he's probably going to hit 1,000 yards again for the third straight year. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver both of his first two seasons. He's on pace to get there again this year. In fact, he's having his best season in terms of yards per game and receptions per game, despite the fact that Rodgers apparently hates him.
So I think most teams would push a hard bargain and demand a first for 2 years of Garrett Wilson. Makes sense. But they are the Jets, and maybe you can find other ways to sweeten the deal and find a way to fleece them given their state of disarray right now.
Would you give them a 2026 first?
You can't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They're not allowed to.
That's right.
Their self-imposed rule is that they won't trade their 2026 first because the draft is here in 2026.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's off the board, which is, my opinion, a stupid reason to not trade that pick, but we know that they won't because of that. If the draft was in...
Would you throw in an extra pick if they...
San Francisco, they'd do it, but it's here.
If you could get them for a second and a second and a third or a second and a fourth, would you do it?
Yes. Yeah, it's like you're saying second round pick this upcoming year, then third round pick the year after.
Sure.
100%. I'm in.
Would they
do that.
Maybe. I just feel like they're looking at him as still a very viable asset. And is Aaron Rodgers even going to be there after this year? That's the other question. Because if you think Rodgers is just one and done and he's going to retire if this thing goes completely to crap.
Chris, we're talking about the Jets here. So you're raising, I think, very relevant and very cogent questions about them, but they don't know the answers because of how poorly run they are. So who knows? I mean, I think the reason why this idea got floated out on national TV yesterday is because the Steelers need a wide receiver. And now that Adams is there, maybe it makes Wilson's future with the team a little bit less likely. And I think you just see. Hey, maybe they call you back and say, he's unavailable. We're never trading Garrett Wilson. We look at him as a franchise foundational player. Okay, then you say, let's pivot to Mike Williams. We'll trade you a 7th-round pick, and then you're done with that. But I would aim high again.
How much does Mike Williams help them?
The Steelers?
Yeah, we're talking about scales here. How much does Mike Williams help them?
He's an upgrade over Van Jefferson. I mean, if he comes here, I think my reaction to it would be, all right, good job. You got somebody else to help this team now. It's not Brandon Ayuk or Devontae Adams or Cooper Kupp or any of these guys that we started to get starry-eyed about, but he's a functional football player who, when he stays healthy and gets snaps and gets the ball thrown his way, tends to do something with it.
Man,
let's see how it goes.
He's not really getting snaps or the ball thrown as well, though, because they think he sucks.
Do they think he sucks, or does the quarterback there think he sucks and the quarterback is in charge of the team? Let's hone in on the real details there. The quarterback has assembled a team that's made up of all of his old buddies from Green Bay, and he prioritizes them over Williams.
I think there's just reason to wonder how much left in the tank there is from Mike Williams, given his injury history.
I don't disagree
he's
with
not,
that.
He's not young.
No, he's not, but I'd rather have him in a pinch than Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin,
fine.
Those guys.
Let's play the realistic game, though, since we're talking about trade candidates. It's not, would you rather have him over what the Steelers currently have? The answer to almost every one of these guys is yes, because that's why we're talking about it. If I give you the choice of Williams, Slayton, or like a Jacoby Myers type, again, players who are actually out there who might get moved because their teams stink, is Williams number one on that list? He isn't for me.
Well, Slayton's your guy.
But I think even Myers is probably ahead of him at this point. Like, I think the idea of Mike Williams for people is better than the actual, like, experience of Mike Williams. Jacoby Myers has 325 yards receiving this year. That is by no means, like, elite. But that is a damn sight better than Mike Williams.
Fans like name players who they've heard of before and they've had on their fantasy teams, and they like them even more when the acquisition cost is basically nothing. Oh, you're giving me this guy that I've heard of, and I've seen his highlights, and I've looked at his stats, and I can have him for free? Gimme, 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 gimme. Who sang that, Donnie?
ABBA.
Thank you.
But sorry, Donnie, that was supposed to be yours. Wait a minute, who cares what fans like? What's the right move for the
team?
No,
all I was saying is you presented these three options, and I said in that hypothetical, I think a lot of fans would go with Williams because they know Williams more than the other two guys, and it's not going to take much to get him. They know his situation in New York. They just watch the Steelers play the Jets. My answer is, not having looked at his stats at all this year, I think of those three, Myers is probably the best wide receiver.
31, 325, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think he's probably the best one. I have no earthly idea off the top of my head what his contract situation is.
I have it up in front of me right now. So he's making $5 million this year. He makes $10.5 next
That's
year.
That's peanuts.
It's peanuts. Next year's more expensive, but you can take on that contract if you want to keep him around. This year he's making diddly squat.
Donnie, did you hear this Garrett Wilson thing yesterday? Did you get a chance to check out? Oh, no, we were at Pet Fest.
Yeah.
So we missed the pregame. I ended up getting this secondhand. But you got to at least call about it, don't you think?
Pick up the phone.
I mean, it doesn't beep, hurt boop, to call. Beep, boop, beep, beep, Worst boop. They can say is no.
How high would you go? Would you give up a first?
I mean, I actually wouldn't be against the idea of giving up a first.
I think he's a more complete...
That's different than saying yes, though. That's
would
like...
Would you give it up if they just that's, said
there's yes, there's
20,
no,
whatever.
And Donnie's like in the middle between the two and maybe
I mean, they're
slightly
probably, they're,
more towards
okay.
yes?
Okay, they're probably going to be what, like pick
21 to
22
23.
To 24?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Would you do it?
I actually would.
I think he's a more complete receiver than Pickens. Like, in terms of route running, he's got some drop issues, like a ball clanking off his chest right into Beanie Bishop's hands.
And when we talked about this last week, I said, you're talking to me at a wrong time to endorse giving up a first-round pick for him when I watched a ball go off his numbers and into the hands of an undrafted free agent cornerback.
But then again, you just sort of made, like, the case from Mike Williams, who caught exactly one pass and then was told to get his ass off the field.
Yeah, he was one for one. On fourth down, no less.
I mean, I just think Garrett Wilson gives you good route running, like, generally speaking, no malcontent diva behavior. Really, like, in that relationship, it's Aaron Rodgers who's the diva. He's a very, very good player who has been saddled with, at various times, a quarterback who hates him or a guy named Zach Wilson, which is almost worse.
Fan Game Day Live with us right now continues later on, 6 o'clock tonight at the Rivers with Donnie Football, Mark Cabali, Jason Mackey. ESPN will have the game. You can watch it locally on Channel 4. That means Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the TV side. Radio side, Kevin Harlan calls Monday Night Football, and Kevin's going to join us in 45 minutes. He's been calling Monday Night Football for Westwood One, I believe, for 20 years. He's never come to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football and called a Steelers loss.
Steelers' record on Monday Night Football at home has been pretty preposterous for, what, 30 years now?
They've won 21 straight.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The last team to beat them?
Giants.
The Giants. Yep.
1991.
One.
Who would the Giants' quarterback have been? Dave Brown or somebody like that?
No. Jeff Hostetler.
Hostetler.
Because that was the year after they won the Super Bowl, so he got the job. All right, Brooke Pryor, she works for ESPN. She covers the Steelers. She joins us right now on her 29th birthday. Congratulations, Brooke. Thank you for carving out some time for us.
Oh, you are so welcome, and thank you for saying that I'm 29, because earlier this year, Landon Roberts, we were playing that really fun age guessing game, and he thought I was 35. So not that there's anything wrong with 35, but in that moment, I was like, well, I'm not quite. And he said, well, media ages y'all. So it was a reality check that I needed to hear.
He actually gave me 2 extra years, too, now that Brooke brings that up. Oh, like, one of our first shows, he's like, you're like, what, 31?
Now, if I shaved my head around him.
But
so
I mean, I also do. I probably do look older.
Question. If I shaved my head around him so he couldn't see little flecks of gray that are in the beard and, like, at the temples,
okay.
I feel like I could pass for close to 10 years younger,
Well, you
Donnie.
Still get carded at the casino.
I get carded at the casino, exactly.
See,
I'm almost 40.
Brooke, my hidden thing is I lie up. I tell people that I'm in my mid to late 40s, and then they say, wow, you look great for that age.
See, it's genius.
Yeah.
It's genius. You got to set yourself up for success. That's the secret here. I like that strategy. I'm going to start doing that.
Brooke, why should Pony just stop with mid to late 40s? Might as well start telling people he's 62. I mean, if you're going to lie up, lie. Like, really, get your money's worth here. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. You know, if you're going to lie, make it count. That's the words to live by, really.
Brooke, give us the wide receiver name who you think is most likely to get traded to the Steelers between now and the deadline.
I have no name. I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like every time there is an option, something happens, whether they are traded to another team or there's a season-ending injury. I think Christian Kirk was a really interesting option, and now he's out for the season with that collarbone injury. I mean, Mike Williams is probably my best guess of, like, most realistic wide receiver. But let's be honest, there's not too many options out there of guys that I think the Steelers could trade for and realistically would trade for that would make this wide receiver room better without just way overpaying for it, because that position is at such a premium with there not being a ton of options right now.
What about a guy that they're going to see tonight, Slayton from the Giants, as somebody that's he's not an overwhelming name, I know, but he's somebody who is an upgrade over what they would have, at least in principle, Brooke.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know that the Giants have made him available.
Well, they might want to because they stink. So
that That is fair. You can never underestimate the power of stinking when it comes to making guys available that may not have been available a week or two ago. I mean, kind of the reverse Cooper Kupp, someone that very much felt like he was in play for the Steelers, and now because the Rams are good, it does not make any sense for them to part with him. So, yeah, there could be guys like Slayton that shake loose in the next couple of weeks, especially a guy from an NFC team, I would think would be maybe more apt to wanting to work with the Steelers. But, you know, at this point, it really kind of feels like the options that are out there right now are drying up.
What happened with Justin Fields this week, Brooke?
You know, my best understanding is that it would have been something that popped up late in the week, if not during walkthrough, because he had not been on the injury report, had not been limited in any way at any of the times that I was out at practice. So it kind of seems like something late in the week that came up. I'm going to guess that it's not something super serious. By the way, I'm standing here at Acrisure, and I want you to know the Pigeons just landed on the field. So I know it's no Kevin Harlan in terms of, you know, dictating the outcome, but there are birds on the field, and I know that you guys really like to know when that is happening.
We do.
I can't even imagine Harlan calling the birds landing on the field. Their wings are flapping at an incredible pace.
That's exactly what this needs.
Are they still going to be there?
I'm sorry that I am no Kevin Harlan.
Are they there at night, or is this like a daytime feeding thing?
You know, who's to say? I know they just mowed the field.
Okay.
So I don't know if maybe there was some seed in the mower that spread it around or what, but I was sitting up in the stands earlier doing an interview, and they were, not going to lie, they were freaking me out a little bit. They are not afraid of people. They were walking around near my feet, and I was a little worried I was going to scream on the phone, but I didn't. I kept my cool. That's what a mature 29-year-old would do.
How do you think the Steelers handle Malik Nabers in this game?
I think that this is going to be Joey Porter Jr.'s biggest test, and I think it's going to be, stressor on the secondary in a way that they haven't really been tested so far. This is going to be a game where you hope that the communication is better on the back end than it was against the Cowboys. At that point, that was, I think, the most premium wide receiver that they had played. Nabers is, I don't think, as necessarily as steady as CeeDee Lamb at this point. Daniel Jones is certainly not as proven as Dak Prescott, although since that game, Dak has not been great. But I think that this is going to be a big game for Joey Porter Jr., who has played better. I think it helps that also a guy like Beanie Bishop got more confidence in the last Sunday night game. They're going to need him. I just finished writing a little bit about Deshaun Elliott as being, I think, the team's best offseason acquisition. He was an under-the-radar signing at the time, but, I mean, he had a pick. He's had a fumble recovery, leads the team in tackles. I think this is going to be another big game for him while they try to contain a guy like Malik Nabers.
How big of a game is this for Russell Wilson, just to show that it wasn't fluky what he did in his first start back?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's easy to come out and have a good game in your first week, but I think when you do, week two becomes even more difficult, or there's even more pressure on you to, like you said, prove that it's not a fluke, to prove that, you know, yes, I can come out here and I can do it one week, but doing it week after week is the thing that's going to continue to separate him from Justin Fields, especially with the moon ball. It's stretching it down the field. And the last week, I think the wide receivers did a lot of work to catch some of those underthrown balls. He's going to have to get it to them a little bit more consistently, maybe take some of the pressure off of his receivers to make plays on those balls. But I think that this is even more of a test because of how good the Giants' pass rush is. Yes, this team is not necessarily the most well-rounded opponent they're going to face, but they do lead the NFL in sacks. Dexter Lawrence is a premium pass rusher, and I think that we saw last week Russell Wilson having some limitations in terms of his escapability and just being quick on his feet. It's definitely not the same as Justin Fields, but he was able to move around enough to still be effective, and we're going to need to see that again in the second start.
Brooke, if they lose and Russell Wilson doesn't have a good game, do you think that they would contemplate going back to Fields after the bye?
You know, I don't think so. I think that would be a little premature. I also think that, I mean, it would have to be really bad, like a Nathan Peterman 5-pick performance. And even then,
so like a Kyle McCord game.
That did happen recently on the field that I'm standing on. So it
was beautiful and glorious, here. Brooke. You can say it. You can be honest.
That's
it was wonderful.
Not for Kyle McCord. Unfortunately, not for Kyle McCord. But
my mentions.
I don't. Or your mentions. I can't believe that. I can't believe people would do that. But yeah, I think that they're not going to be quick to pull Russell Wilson because Mike Tomlin likes to say you can't put the Jell-O back in the box, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I think that the last thing you want to do is be yanking quarterbacks around. You want one guy to establish a rhythm. At this point, they're riding with Russell Wilson, so I wouldn't anticipate that they would pull him off the field, put Justin Fields back on. That just, I don't think, is the smartest thing for this team at this point.
Do you think that they'll open up the playbook more, specifically as it pertains to the passing game with Wilson, that we see? I know it's hard to watch the game and see and say, oh, that's a more advanced concept, but do you expect them to continue to allow Wilson to do more or try to do more in the passing game?
Yeah, I would think so. I think that once he kind of proved that he had mastered the plays that they were calling a week ago, I think that it's just going to, you know, give him more of that Cheesecake Factory menu that that Arthur Smith likes to reference. Sorry, the birds are flying now. They are scared of the PA announcer in the stadium. But don't worry, they've landed again.
I've never had Cheesecake Factory in my entire life, by the
way. Get out of here.
Swear to
what?
God. Yeah. Am I missing anything?
And the menu, I mean, yes. It's one of those deals where they cook everything with butter and lots of oil.
Is
and
the
seasoning.
Cheesecake worthy of the name? Is it really what you go for
it's
there?
It's good, but no, the menu, Brooke, how many pages would you say the menu is? About 22?
At least. There are probably some college textbooks that are smaller than a Cheesecake Factory menu.
Donnie, have you been?
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
It's bizarre that
there's no way Donnie Football hasn't been.
I mean, Malzi's never had Taco Bell before.
Well, that's like a conscientious objector situation.
Sarah raves about the brown bread that they bring
out. At Cheesecake?
Oh, yeah. It is very good. It is very good. I would anticipate Russell Wilson being able to have some brown bread passing concepts in this game. Some universally liked passing concepts that will go over really well.
Brooke, will you celebrate before the game or after, or are you waiting for your significant other to do something when the Steelers' schedule affords you that?
We went to dinner on Friday. I had a little get-together with friends yesterday, and that's kind of all I had planned. I wouldn't say that, 33 is a landmark year. I mean, it's you could say it's like my Jesus year, but I don't know that they make cards specifically for 33, so I'm okay with a low key birthday this year.
Gotcha. Brooke Pyre in the house with the birds for the Steelers and Giants later on tonight on ESPN. Thank you, Brooke. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
I like to use the term Jesus year.
I forgot he died at 33.
But that's what I mean. Like, do you really want to highlight that it's your Jesus year? That one didn't go well for JC in the end. I mean, it kind of ended, you know, all's well that ends well, but
I don't want to
tough for a while.
I don't want to come off as sacrilegious, but would you guys not agree in the New Testament we get a lot of early Jesus? We get a lot of late life Jesus, there's a big gap
there's
there.
There's 21 years that you don't know about. He goes from, I think, he's 12 years old and, he's born. Mm-hmm. I can say this because I went to Catholic school for 12 years. He's born, I think they give you, little bits and pieces up until he's about to be a teenager.
No teenage Jesus.
And no 20s. And then he's 33 and stuff's hitting the fan suddenly.
So just he carpentered his butt off in his 20s?
Yeah, essentially you don't know anything, in the Bible, you don't know anything about what happens basically from the time he was about to hit his teenage years to the time he more or less rode triumphantly back into Jerusalem. That's because kids used to ask that in Catholic grade school.
I think
school,
it's a fair question.
What's going on here? Why don't we know anything about
it? Time for Donnie Football's mega matchups for the Steelers and Giants. Our football guy taking a look at the things, the X's and O's, the player personnel questions that will be answered later on tonight that will reveal the answer to tonight's big game, Monday Night Football, the Steelers and G-Men.
So I think one of the big ones you guys asked Brooke Pyre about, Joey Porter Jr., Malik Nabers, we'll see how many times they match up. This is maybe the biggest test for PZ Jr. going into tonight. I mean, Nabers is the real deal. It's just a matter of,
you're looking at the real deal now, Malik Nabers.
The rest of that offense is garbage. There's even some Browns people who think this will be the last go-around for old Danny Jones. And they could
some
just
Browns
turn it
people,
over to,
Giants people.
Giants people, sorry.
What do you mean by that? They think he's going to get
benched?
I had our guy Sean Morash on last week. He said this will be the last start Daniel Jones ever makes for the Giants.
Wow. We should be so lucky to watch that then. This is history in the making tonight on the Sports Equinox.
If you're wondering, what's the Sports Equinox again?
All four sports leagues have games.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you something right now, brother.
If you want to know what Joey Porter is going to do, it's probably the follow role. Which you can gauge by how many times Neighbors lines up in the slot. He's taken 295 snaps. 219 of them have been out wide. Porter, I believe, has followed the other team's quote-unquote best receiver 75% of the time when they've been lined up out wide. If they line the guy up in the slot, like a Cooper Kupp in his prime, though, that's one where Porter doesn't necessarily get matched up on him, but the way the Giants deploy Neighbors and the way the Steelers seem comfortable to having Porter follow seem like they would be a match.
At the moment, I feel better about the Steelers secondary than I have all year because Beanie's coming off that monster game against the Jets where Aaron Rodgers personalized some nice intercepted balls for him.
Still surprised Rodgers did
and
that.
Said, "Dear Beanie, chemtrails are a real thing." Signed, Aaron Rodgers.
Do we know? Does he believe in chemtrails?
He does. He told Seneca Wallace that.
Why Seneca Wallace?
Seneca Wallace did an interview and he said, "Yeah, I thought he was a weird guy. We were warming up before a game," and he said, "You see that stuff coming off those planes?
Oh, wait, I have heard of that one.
That's going to give us cancer."
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I do remember that now. You know, the Beanie Bishop, the thing I feel way better about with Beanie Bishop coming out of that game is the first pick. I know the second one was the splashy one, but the first pick actually suggests to me that he's growing in his knowledge and his, you know, ability to play the position.
Dear Beanie, never get inoculated. Signed, Aaron.
What did he say about himself? I'm not this, but I am immunized or something?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
He was like, I'm not vaccinated.
Well, now he said he's in the darkness. And he said, you got to be comfortable in the darkness.
They are in the darkness. They're 2-6.
Yeah, and the cellar of a division, that's usually pretty dark.
And the cellar of a pretty bad division.
Do you think he's too proud that if they end up like 4-13 this year that to just retire and go out like a total chump? Do you think he would need to come back?
You know what the sad thing about that is? If he didn't, you'd have the Mike Greenbergs and some of these moronic Jets fans on TV saying, well, he got the rust off from his Achilles injury last year. This is now the year that Aaron Rodgers cooks. The coaching coaching staff change. We brought in Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson and Aaron Rodgers are going to make sweet music together this year. Mark my words. That's what's going to happen.
This is the year he cooks what?
He'll go to the Vikings like the last guy.
But I was saying, if he moves around, Neighbors, Jackson I feel good about, Bishop I feel good about, Porter I feel good about right now.
I have another one.
Let's hear it.
Which is surrounding the Giants' best actual player right now. Maybe the best defensive player in football. If he was on a better team, Dexter Lawrence would and should be running away with Defensive Player of the Year around the halfway point. But the Giants suck. The man
you think
is
he's better than what?
He's an interior defensive lineman with 9 sacks.
Yeah. That's like Aaron Donald.
He's having
stuff
an
right
Aaron Donald esque season.
Yep.
Already a career high in sacks. Like you pull up his, you know, if you just pull up his page, you're thinking like, oh, this has to be a typo. The man's never had more than 7.5 in a full season.
I mean, he single-handedly beat the
Seahawks,
basically.
Monstrous season.
And we got Ryan McCollum blocking
him. And we got 2 thumbs up from Ryan McCollum last week. The PFF folks didn't like Ryan McCollum, but Mike Tomlin did. I thought the guy was solid in the absence of Zach Frazier, but I mean, this is a
what did Tomlin
test.
Say about McCollum trying to block Lawrence this week? He said something like, we're not just going to pat him on the butt and say good luck out there.
I thought it was double thumbs up. I'm not surprised by that. As I mentioned, when I talked about Ryan last week, he's mature beyond his years. He brings a really professional approach. He's really urgent in everything he does, and I just think that tees you up for performance. But I don't think any of us were surprised that he was above the line in terms of how he performed last week. This week is a new week, and with new weeks comes new challenges, and some of them big in the form of Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. Very big. Too big to sit on a love seat, evidently.
Dexter Lawrence is a problem. Problem in the running game. He's a problem in the passing game. I think he leads the NFL in sacks, but he's just a dominant player. I remember when I took those guys out to dinner when he came out of Clemson a number of years back and sitting having a conversation with him and Christian Wilkins, and they were sitting on a love seat, man, and that love seat was crowded, and Christian Wilkins looked really small.
Why are you at a restaurant where you're eating on love seats? That was a question.
Kind of sounds like a lounge.
It could be one of those like newer hipster type of places. Does Mike Tomlin know?
Yes, Clemson, South Carolina, just known for these hipster spots.
That's true. So was it like after the dinner? They're just hanging out. Donnie's right about him though. If he was on a better team, I know you say higher profile, but New York's pretty high profile. If they were good,
he'd be running away with it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he has been an absolute animal for them this year. Only one team has held him off, or no, two teams, I'm sorry, have held him off the board with sacks through, seven games.
It actually, in a weird way, makes me think that Cam Hayward's going to do something special in this game, because I think Cam lives for the games where the attention is on another defensive lineman, and all the talk, including what his coach said, is about how good that guy is. And I think that's when Cam Hayward raises his game to an even higher level and says, oh, let me just remind you that even though I'm older, I can still do this. Especially when he's going up a guy like Schmitz,
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
That's
what he said. My name too.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmitz.
Whenever I go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
What a stupid-ass song that we taught
kids. Why did every kid have to learn that one in the 90s?
Know. But this offensive line for the Giants is absolute trash. All right, great mega matchups, Donnie. We'll look forward to hearing more of them at 6 o'clock.